Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning all, Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Friday, January 13th, 2011, episode 55, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
And welcome to Horses in the Morning, and we are just all in a mood here today. Well, first thing we want to do on the show is welcome new affiliates to the show. The first one I'd like to welcome is the Horsepedia. We had her on a while back, and she has since put the show on her homepage over there at thehorsepedia.com. And also, I want to welcome RateMyHorsePro.com. It's a neat new site that's out there, and they contacted me yesterday and added the show to their homepage. That's RateMyHorsePro.com. Go check it out. That's a fun site as well that I'm sure we'll be talking more about here in the coming weeks. Well, Jamie, it is Friday.
Yay! It's Friday. Oh, my gosh. Who would have thought that this week seemed like the longest week ever?
Because you have puppies coming on Monday.
I do. You know, the puppy thing is great. I mentioned that it's the longest week ever because most people have been stuck in their homes that I know. The entire city of Atlanta, like, school was shut down all week long. They couldn't even get out of their houses. My brother, my dad, nobody could get to the office, anything like that. My mother has called me at least 10 times a day. She can't go anywhere, and her husband is out of town, and she's stuck in the house and has nothing to do at all but call me. And so I've talked to her like 150 times this week, and it's the same stuff every time. I love you, Mom. I know you're listening because you have nothing else to do right now. But
you know,
oh my gosh,
what's funny is I talked to my one friend from Massachusetts yesterday where they had 2 feet of snow and 50-mile-an-hour winds and drifts, you know, 4 or 5 feet high. And they had one day off of school, and the next day was 2 hours late, and he was back to work.
That's amazing.
It just goes to show. if you have snowplows and salt, you can actually get back to work.
I read something that said Atlanta, population 4,500,000, snowplows 10.
Well, let's get, Jennifer has a jam-packed show for us again. She is not letting us goof off at all, is she? We just don't have time to chat. We don't have time to talk. She just boom, boom, boom with those interviews.
It's tough to be you. On today's show, we are starting out with some advice on starting out. Dating a horse gal, that is. Author Roger Deemers and his gal, eventer Katie Murphy, will be here to expound on Roger's sensational article recently published in the USCA Area 1 newsletter. And after that, we will be introducing our latest winner of Collegiate of the Month, Kelsey Huffman, equestrian extraordinaire. And, of course, the latest equestrian world melodrama, amazing horse rescue headlines, and inappropriate double entendre, That last bit would be Glenn's department.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not sure if I like that. Speaking of double entendre, you brought it up. Now, you started it, so I can mention it. I just got to give a shout-out to Aubrey, who had the double entendre of the week on our Facebook page.
And oh, my God. That's funny.
She wrote, "I have a pony who is terrified." Remember last week, Michelle said, we were talking about Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, the horse treat, and Michelle's horse was afraid of him. And that started this whole thing where Uncle Jimmy got involved and everything. Well, later on this week, by the way, Michelle posted that her horse is now not afraid of him and is full of sticky lips from the Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls because it's a horse treat. Well, Aubrey wrote earlier in the week, "I have a pony who is terrified of Jimmy's balls as well. He's a big weenie, though," she wrote. So Robert Dunn posted on there, and I posted on there and everything. Well, it turns out that Aubrey meant what she said, and she wrote, "I never claimed to be PG." So way to go, girl. That's my kind of girl right there, Aubrey. She's my kind of listener.
I love it.
Well, welcome to the show. There was something very funny. I'm going to post it up on Facebook that I saw. This is totally random and has nothing to do with horses, but I'm going to post it up on Facebook. Did you watch the video of the reporter and the sledder?
Yeah. Well, you told me that I had to watch the video because it's going to be me this weekend. I'm going skiing this weekend. We just drive. It's 2 hours away. It's 70 degrees here yesterday. Beautiful. And 2 hours north of us is, 2 feet of snow to go skiing in. So Glenn sends me this video and says, "Watch it. It's in honor of your ski weekend." And you don't sound like that at all, by the way. And then, so I checked it out. Go ahead, post it. It's funny. I laughed out loud. Then I showed it to my husband, and he laughed out loud. So it'll surprise you. It's funny.
It is very good. It's one of those rare moments that everybody goes,
yes.
Hey, speaking of
yes
moments.
Yes.
1144. That's how many we have on Facebook. Remember, our goal is to get over 1,100 this week.
Yay! And we did it. Yay!
Yes, very good. Welcome to all our new listeners out there. We appreciate you tuning in. And remember, a couple things we always like to remind you on Fridays is you can listen to past episodes just by going to horsesinthemorning.com. All the past episodes are there. You can just hit the play button, listen. You can download them, do whatever you want. You can also go to iTunes. And in the iTunes store, just search for Horses in the Morning, and you can have all of our episodes that come out are put up immediately after the show is a recording, and you can listen to them on your iPod, on your iPhone. Just download them through iTunes. You can listen on your computer. You can also listen to the show live. Just go to your browser on your smartphone, your iPhone, or your Android phone, and just type in horsesinthemorning.mobi. And that's how you can listen. It's MOBI, horsesinthemorning.mobi. And there's a little play button right there. You can hit play and listen. I know that probably about half our audience right now is listening on their phone, so we're excited about that as well. I got to listen to Jennifer and to Jamie do the show on Monday morning on my phone as I was driving down the road. It was really cool.
Awesome. Well, before we get our first guest on the line, Glenn, I have to let you guys know, because everybody picked on me pretty bad about posting the video of my thoroughbred doing his first little jump course, because he was putting around. I mean, the horse barely moved. It's like push, push. I have to kick. Come on, kick, cluck. Let's go. And so he kind of barely skims over the jumps. Well, I set up some grid work yesterday to attempt to teach him where his legs are, right? Okay, so I would like for you to post that video on our Facebook so everybody can see how much better he's getting. And this is him in his true form.
Okay, I'm posting it right now. We're going to put it up there. It did look much better. It actually looked like you had some motivation there. But you know what? I didn't see you using a crop, so were you using the crop before the video?
Oh, Glenn, I discovered the tool of the century with an X-race horse, and that is a stick. It only has to be about a foot long, and he only has to know that you have it for about 30 seconds But you can definitely see the change in motivation as he goes through this, because I had put down the stick about 30 seconds because the time before going through and videoing, he actually, with the stick in hand, tried to clear the entire grid at once. So I thought, okay, guess he knows I have it. I'm going to go ahead and drop it. So I dropped it, and this is what I ended up with, and I'm very happy. And it's so hard to take a horse and leave the jumps at, you know, a foot and a half. I just want to crank them up, like, okay, put it higher. But then I have to remember, he's not conditioned for that. He should only be doing little stuff until he figures this out. Don't want to scare him. But, man, that urge to, like, jack the last foot up to, that last jump up to, like, 3 feet is just, it's innate. I can't help it, but it is.
All right. Well, I just posted that on YouTube or on Facebook as well, so that everybody can go over and check out Jamie's latest jumping adventure. It definitely looked like there was some extra motivation there and that the horse was actually moving along a little bit. So for all those people that picked on you on Facebook, here we go.
Yeah. I think somebody said I should attach a carrot to a fishing pole and put it out in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't see the carrot, so I was assuming you had used the crop or spurs or something, because I didn't see the carrot out. Hey, we have our first guest on the line, and I want to get him on because I'll tell you what, this was so much fun. If you remember last week, we talked about an article that we had seen written by a guy named Roger, and it was all about him dating his Aventer girlfriend for the first 6 months and the things he went through. Well, we have actually his girlfriend's name is Katie, and Katie Murphy, and Katie reached out to us and said, "My friend told me that you guys were talking about Roger's article," so we had to have them both on together. So we actually have Katie and Roger on here together. Now, however, because it's my show and I own the Horse Radio Network, I get to do what I want when I want. So, Katie, you're going to have to hold on, and Jamie, I'm putting you on mute. So Katie and Jamie are on mute, and now it's just Roger and I for a little guy time. Hey, Roger, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. How's it going, Glenn?
It's fun, and believe me, you're going to wish you had a mute button, too, that you could just use any time you wanted to shut them up. It's
yeah,
so
I'm already
nice.
A little nervous about it.
Hey, I wanted to, first of all, before we get to talking to Katie, I wanted to welcome you to the Brotherhood of the horse husband / boyfriend. After that article, you are definitely in. No tests needed.
Yeah, tell me about it. This has been a little overwhelming, the response to this article, and there's been a lot of feedback, I think, from both venting women and their husbands and boyfriends.
Well, it's terrific. You know, they call me America's horse husband because I've been a horse husband for a long time, and I married into it, and I do the Horse Radio Network. But let me tell you, when I read that article, I don't know if you listened back to the show, but we had so much fun talking about the different points in your article.
Yeah, and, you know, I still remember the first thing that she said to me within, I think, about a week of meeting her, and she let me know very quickly what the, you know, how much of a priority that the horses were, and, of course, I thought it might just be a fad, and, of course, now 9 months later, I realize that it's not, as I'm sure you realize as well.
Yeah, 25 years later, it's still the same way,
boy.
By the way, that never changes. So if you're planning on changing her, forget it, especially with a venting girl. They are
yeah.
the most addicted. But I'll tell you what, it is most fun being married to an eventing girl or dating an eventing girl because the shows are so much more exciting. As soon as you get through that whole dressage thing, it's fun the rest of the weekend. So that's
right.
an advantage to dating an eventer as opposed to just a straight-up dressage girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was so much fun, and everything you said was so true, and it really brought back memories for me to when I – all the mistakes I made when I first started dating my wife, who's also the producer and on the line who you just talked to. So we're both in the same boat here. We're both going to be in trouble today. Well, let's actually take Jamie and Katie off of mute so they can talk. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Sorry about that, but we had to have some guy time. You know how it is.
No, well, you all have to band together. There's so many women in the horse world. You've got to stay strong in numbers.
Okay, hey, Katie, we're getting a big echo on you, actually, where we can barely understand you.
Oh,
are you on a speakerphone?
Turn it down.
I'm on a ground line. I can call in
better.
On a cell phone. Okay, is that better?
That's better. Okay, now we can understand. So, Katie, you must be surprised that first of all, did he tell you he was writing the article?
He did. You know, as he was thrown into the eventing world, competition after competition, he was coming up with these little snippets that were just hysterical. And as he would meet more and more people, you know, he'd put out these little side comments from what he experienced during the day. And, you know, I thought so many people could relate to this. It would be hysterical if you put it on paper. And he ran with it. And it's been great fun because so many people can really understand the feeling and they can share it with their spouse or their partner and everyone gets a real hoot out of it.
Well, you know, we don't get much representation in the horse world, we don't get a whole lot of airtime. So that's why I was so glad when I read the article from Roger. It's like, oh, somebody else to commiserate with.
Oh, yeah. Well, and now, Glenn, when I go to the competitions, it's, hi, Katie, how are you? Where's Roger? All of my friends have now become his fan club. You know, they're, how's Roger? Where is he? How's he doing? You know, it's really become even more fun than it was initially because now he's just pulled back into it and really is connected with a lot of great folks.
All right,
you know,
I've got a couple questions, Glenn. I got to jump in here. First of all, just to go over the blog for people that haven't seen the article, you talk about the guidelines to dating an eventer and what to do when you're walking across country course and what to bring. And so one of the tips that Roger had was everybody had a dog, get one and you'll fit right in. So,
okay.
Roger, have you gotten the dog?
No, although we are currently working on that, going to a lot of the local SPCAs and dog shelters and trying to track it down. But this will be my first animal that I've ever owned before, and so I'm trying to take it a little bit slow to find the right animal first.
That's fantastic. So he's working on getting the dog. Okay, now I would like to know, what are your intentions? What's going on?
Well,
what are your intentions with Katie?
Well, I think there's some long-term intentions. I seem to be very smitten with this young lady, and despite all the eventing, and I think we'll have to see what happens, but as soon as I'm done with graduate school, I think that as long as things continue to go well, I'm hoping that we'll have a long and lasting relationship.
All right, wait a minute. Katie, what are your intentions with Roger?
I'm going to keep him around as long as I can.
Okay, Roger, I understand you're in grad school here, but how much longer do you have?
Probably about two semesters, so
just about
a year.
All right, so you have less than a year to buy that ring and make some stuff happen, because we don't bring just any guy to horse stuff, okay? Not just any guy gets to come to events. You are special, my friend, and you better understand that and know it and own it.
That is right.
And I think that's the reason things have worked out so well, is I realize my place in all this eventing stuff and just how grateful I should be.
Well, I got news for
you.
Not only are you below the horse, but you're soon to be below the dog.
Yeah, right.
Like, he and Sam are a team. They keep each other, you know, well entertained. And while Sam's bouncing around, Roger's very kind and helps me with water buckets and everything else. So I couldn't do it without him.
Well, I got to say, Katie, you know, you're a busy girl. You work for a real estate company. You go to school. You're trying to do this eventing thing in a very serious way. When do you have time for Roger?
Oh. That's a great question.
I'm here for you, Roger.
Team Demers. I think perhaps that's partly why everything's worked out so well between us, and knowing that Roger also works.
You're never around.
Well. Good point. But Roger also works while he's in school, so we both understand how important it is to stay disciplined when we have to get what we have to do done, but then so we can make a priority for each other in our lives and try to keep that balance. Although at times we have both looked at each other and just wanted to pass out. Yeah, just because of fatigue. But we're working on it, you know, and I think every relationship, you've got to just keep talking.
Okay, now, Roger. Roger, I have something else for you to add to the next article, because you're going to have to do a follow-up now.
Of course.
You know, the next thing is, when they use the word balance often, it means that you're screwed. You're out of the picture.
Yeah. I'm glad you've also figured that out. It took me a little while to realize what the what that code word actually meant, but I'm finally catching on.
That means you're at the bottom of the pile. The balance does
exactly not
include you. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is one of the reasons I'm looking for a dog as well, so that during the eventing season, I have somebody to cuddle with and hang out with.
Jamie, your husband, now, Jamie dated how long before you got married?
We dated for 2 years before we got engaged, and then got married at about, well, I guess, yeah, about a year and a half we got engaged, and 2.5 years we got married.
Okay, so now Jamie's an inventor also. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's gone through it, and her husband's a pretty cool guy. Chad has gone through what you're going through now. So, you know, what got Chad through it?
Well, here's the thing. My coach is a male, and so they kind of bonded a little bit, walking courses and that kind of thing. And you know, Chad takes an approach that he just kind of makes fun of the whole thing, like you, just this whole ridiculous list of mess. And he had to learn. Now, did you have to go through the whole learn to hold the horse thing? Because the first time I asked him to hold a horse, he's like, "What do I do? Where do I hold it? What do I do with it?"
Oh, yeah.
So there's that whole kind of get through the fear of the horse initially, and then start to learn what the competition is and what it means. And I appreciated the fact that you went online and studied videos of Rolex and the USEA website. I think that's fantastic. I thought you were a keeper when you just did that research initially, Roger. But my husband has done pretty good, and you know what? His job now is to video. I give him my little point and shoot, and I go, okay, just video it, and then I can hear his comments when I'm going on course. Like the one when I almost took down a rail in show jumping. I could hear him say to the guy next to him, "Ooh, she almost nailed that one." Like.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that's become my new job when I'm not grooming, is to videotape as well. And it took me about 2 events before I realized that I had to cut down on the profanities whenever she hit a rail or something happened, and realized to keep the commentary to a minimum so that she's able to watch the videos with friends and family.
Exactly.
Yep.
Both of you guys, the same thing. Come on, don't talk trash about us. We can hear you.
Yeah.
So, Katie, do you hope to be a full-time eventer someday? What do you hope to do?
I would love that. And probably the sole thing that's holding me back from making that big change is really worry about finance. And I hate to say it, but insurance is such a grown-up phrase. You know, and where I am now with grad school, once I get done with that and we see how the economy is, hopefully I'll be done in the next year, year and a half. We'll see. My dream is, and my goal is, to do it professionally. But I just don't think everything is in the right place right now to make that change.
Roger, she's so responsible. She's so
I know.
Together.
I was just saying, she's not totally into it, or that responsibility go out the window.
I mean,
yes, that's right.
She's a keeper, Roger. She's a keeper.
Yeah.
Better do something.
Indeed.
She's going to get away.
Well,
right.
you see your bills at the... Oh, sorry, hon. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I'm still, you know, very grateful to have you, and I keep that attitude, and that's what keeps this exciting.
Oh, my God. We need to have them on for our Valentine's show.
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you guys need to keep us informed. Now, you're in Area 1, which I think was determined was the Northeast, right?
Yes, New England and New York State.
Okay, yeah, they're in the cold area, too. So,
that is right.
You guys need to keep us informed. Roger, you need to let us know when you actually do buy the ring, because then we'll have to have you back on.
Absolutely.
And we will certainly let us know in case we miss it. If you write another article, send it over to us, because we definitely want to talk about that one, too.
Certainly, certainly. Well, thank you very much, both Glenn and Jamie, for your time this morning.
No, this is fun. Thank you both.
Yes, thank you. And you all have a wonderful day, and good luck in all your equestrian endeavors.
You too, girlfriend.
Thanks, guys. You too. What's that? Well, Jamie, this has been fun having them both on and talking about it after the follow-up from last week. It was interesting because apparently she heard from a friend about our show and then went back and listened to it. So that's kind of neat, too.
Just stop. Stop right now, because you are in the doghouse, my friend. You put me on mute. You put me on mute for half the interview. I mean, you didn't just say, be quiet. You put me on mute. So I'm not talking to you for at least the next 5 minutes. I'm done. I would like to do our next commercial, if I can. And I'm talking to Jennifer only now. Jennifer, the sponsor for this half hour is Kentucky Performance Products. Jennifer, Joint Armor is a scientifically formulated joint supplement from Kentucky Performance Products. The components of Joint Armor provide dual-action support to joints by supplying the building blocks used for the creation of healthy cartilage matrix and is supporting regeneration of cartilage when damage occurs from trauma and normal wear and tear. Affordable and effective, one jar lasts 75 days. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you're purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Learn more about Joint Armor from KPP and all of their other terrific products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Well, I guess I'll just talk to myself then, seeing you're not talking to me. Let me see. What else is going on? What am I doing this weekend? I was going to ask you what you're doing this weekend, but I already know that. You're going skiing, so you don't really have to answer because you're not talking to me. You know, it was kind of fun to put you on hold for a little while. That was kind of neat. I like that power. Next up, we have our Collegiate of the Month. Every month we try and highlight a college student who is doing great things in the equestrian world, or who is doing very well on their equestrian team. And this month we have somebody that I'm very excited about. I've known her for a little while now. We're Facebook friends. We've never met in person, but we've chatted on the phone a time or two. She's actually been a guest on our Western radio show, I believe. So I would like to welcome Kelsey Huffman. She is currently a senior at Texas Christian University, where she is months away from completing her four-year degree, and also this is her fourth year competing on the NCEA varsity equestrian team. She grew up on a ranch, and we're going to learn a little bit more about her, and she has done some amazing things in college. Hi, Kelsey, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Great to talk with you.
It's good to talk with you, too.
Congratulations.
Yes, yay!
Collegiate
of the Month.
Thank
well, Kelsey,
you.
Kelsey, I've been following you on Facebook for quite a while now, and you seem to be having, number one, a terrific time in college. You have some great friends there, and also, what an incredible run you have had on the equestrian team.
Oh, thank you. It's so much fun. I'm just so thankful for the opportunities that I've had. It's been an amazing, amazing college career, and couldn't ask for a better time.
Now, you grew up on a ranch, so I assume you grew up riding?
I did. I think probably before I could even walk, my parents were putting me in the saddle, probably way too young. But, yep, I've been riding ever since I could walk, basically.
And now, what kind of ranch was it? What did they do there?
Well, I guess I grew up in California, and Southern California, to be exact, and so it's actually pretty much all city there. So I think our definition of ranches might be a little bit different than other places. Definitely just horses and people who love to ride, love to trail ride, just love the sport of riding, basically was our ranch. No cattle, no no branding, not a ranch like that. Just basically just horses, people having a great time, fun riding.
Now, when did you start into actually competing?
I believe I was 5 years old when I actually started showing.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've been showing for a long time. And you've kind of done some interesting things, like a little thing like capturing a world championship. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a dream come true. It was ever since I was a little girl, every time I would blow out the candles on a birthday cake, my dream was, or my wish was to win the world. So it was something I longed for a really, really, really long time. And I worked really, really hard showing since I was five. And when I was 16 years old, I finally captured that world championship I've always wanted.
And that was in reigning, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's terrific. Well, you know, why did you pick TCU? Why did you pick Texas Christian University, which for some reason I just cannot say today?
Kind of a tongue twister.
Yeah.
I chose the school particularly for the equestrian team. My sister went here before I did, so I had a lot of time to interact with the coach. And he is just a great man to look up to and to lead a team. And that just really persuaded me to be on this team. And Fort Worth and Texas, I've come here. That's actually where the World Championships are held. So I've come here every single year since I was pretty young. And I just love the state of Texas. And so it just really made me fall in love with the school.
I'm looking at some pictures that we put in our show notes that you sent us over. And Jamie, I got to say, one of the cool things about Western is they get to wear better clothes.
They do get to bling it up a little bit, don't they?
We're looking at you in your pink shirt and your belt buckle and your pink belt. You know, it's just, you get to do so much cooler stuff than the English girls do.
Definitely. And we always joke about that.
about you guys dressing better than English people? Really, do tell.
Well, especially just being on the team, because we have the English girls and we have the Western girls so close together, and they always have to put on their same outfits, and we get to pick and choose what we want to wear. And you know, girls our age, they're always like, man, I always wish I could do Western just so I could wear the pretty clothes.
Especially being in Texas, I would imagine that you probably could wear those clothes out at night.
Oh, definitely. We have the Fort Worth Stock Show Rodeo coming up, and there's rodeos every night. I'm sure you could wear those outfits, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Do you hope to do this for a living, Kelsey? Do you want to be professional?
I wouldn't want to be professional. I would love to be able to do it as a non-professional and be good enough to be able to make a living, but I feel like that's a little bit of a long fetch. It's pretty hard, I think, but, I might try.
There you go. And, of course, the TCU team hasn't done too poorly. Tell us about that. In the last couple of years, you guys have kicked butt.
We have. Our coach has done a great job of recruiting, and we've had great girls, former girls on the team, and we still have great girls on the team. We've been very, very fortunate. We're a very young team. This is only our fifth year. And actually, in our second year, we captured the national championship in Western, which is just a dream come true. I mean, that was the fastest any team has ever won a national title in the sport. So that was awesome.
I wanted to ask you, what is your major?
I am majoring in communication, and I have a minor in business.
Communication and business. I'm trying to think here. Between riding reining horses for a living and doing communication, I would go with reining horses. You might make more money. I'm amazed. Yeah, I'm amazed constantly at the purses. And my cousins all live in Fort Worth, and they do reining horses. And I'm like, she's 16 years old. She's like, oh, yeah, oh, well, it wasn't a big prize. I only won $5,000 this weekend. I'm like, what? I made $200 4 years ago for winning. How how do you guys get that? So being in communications and also being a writer, I would stick with the reining, girl. Go for it. Your mom's going to kill me.
You can. No, right. You can make a lot of money, but it costs a lot of money to get there, too.
I know. I'm just teasing you.
It does for sure. Are you ready to get out of school and get on with life, or do you wish you had like 4 more years?
Maybe like 8 more years. I love school. I'm not, it's just more of the friends. They're 2 blocks away and we can go have lunch. I'm going to miss that kind of stuff,
But I wanted to ask you, because you just took a little trip, didn't you? Didn't you go out to California?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, and you went out there for the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yes, I did.
And how was that? We did a lot of coverage on the Tournament of Roses parade. Did you get to see the parade at all?
We did. My friends and I woke up very bright and early and went and saw the Rose Parade live in person. Awesome.
And what was that like?
Oh, it's incredible when you see it that close up. You can see, like, the actual details, and you can hear all the music and smell. You can actually smell the roses. It's just...
That's what I wanted to know.
Anybody,
can you smell the floats?
Oh, yeah. You can smell them. I think everybody should go once in their lifetime. It's incredible.
And then you had this little football game that you went to.
Yeah, it was kind of little, not very exciting.
No, you guys won, too, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely incredible. It's such an honor.
Well, that's terrific. Well, congratulations again, Kelsey. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. And good luck here in your professional reigning career, seeing now that we've just ruined your parents totally and have you going out professional the day after you graduate.
Exactly. We won't
Thanks,
tell
Kelsey.
Them.
No, we won't tell them.
Thank you.
Do not listen to this show. We didn't mean anything we said.
No.
Bye, Kelsey. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Glenn, right, I told you, I never told you that I was going to be a great influence on young minds. I mean, that was not part of my job application. That was not where I was supposed to be. So there you go.
You and Aubrey ought to get together. Apparently, she's not a great influence on young minds either. So the two of you would make a good team.
We would probably be best friends, I'm pretty sure.
Probably. I think that we should get to our song a little early today, and then we have some other things that we want to talk about. But the song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only application that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, vaccines, worming, farrier, dentist visits, all of that stuff together, and easily accessible right on your iPhone. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events, like when the next vaccine is coming up, that kind of thing. Also wanted to say that you can get it on your iPod as well. So you can visit them at pocketstable.com or look up Pocket Stable on your application store on your iPhone. This song is for you, Jamie. And normally when I say that, you cringe because you never know what's coming. Well, this is a special song because of how much we beat you up over your new little puppies yesterday. By the way, I hope we didn't go overboard. Puppies are a blast. And because of that, I wanted to redeem ourselves a little bit, Jennifer and I, with this special song right here.
I am just a puppy and I'm scared to death. I am just a puppy and you light my breath. What I really need is you to love me, 'cause I'm just a puppy. Give so much. I sit in your hand just like a kitten.
About puppies, because like you said, you guys really beat us up. Hey, let me do this. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. And you know, as negative as you guys were yesterday, I had my students, Rachel and Hannah, and they're 10 and 7, and they were like, do you have any new pictures of puppies? We can't wait for the puppies. I want the puppies to come. I want the puppies to come. So I was cleansed after you your negativity with the positivity of a 7 and 10-year-old. So there.
Okay. You know, there is something very special about having a puppy. Puppies are a lot of fun.
I'm so excited about it.
Get them. Let's remind everybody, you pick up your brand-new puppies on Monday afternoon. Are you doing the show on Monday, or are you just blowing us off and doing the puppy thing?
I probably will just blow you off. No. we will do the show because I think they're going to leave on Monday morning from North Carolina. So they're probably getting in late on Monday or at least the late afternoon. And she still hasn't sent me the finalized flight details. So I guess I'll have those Monday morning, hopefully, of when they're coming. But we shall see. We'll see what happens.
Hey, we have a question about how puppies travel because we don't know the answer. They couldn't be down in the luggage hold. Isn't it too cold for them down there? What do they do?
I don't know. She has shipped dogs a lot. I've never done it, so she has all the information on how to do it.
If anybody has flown their dog before, I'm curious because I don't think they could keep them in the luggage hold unless that's heated and pressurized. So if anybody knows the answer to that, give us a call at 347-637-3238. Or do a post over there on Facebook. But I was just curious.
Yeah, I would be too. Well, like you guys know, I've been trying to, let me just even back up more. January 17th is a holiday in this house. And that is because, it's not only because we're getting puppies that day, that is also the day that Horse of the Year will be announced. And, of course, we are hoping, we being, you know, pretty much me in this house, that Horse of the Year will go to Zenyatta. So we've been working very hard on trying to get Charles, Zenyatta's handler, on the show on Tuesday to talk about either the exuberance of the farm at Lane's End or the disappointment or whatever may happen after the Horse of the Year announcement has been made. So I did contact him yesterday. I finally got through to him on Facebook. And you know what he said?
What?
I have to call his people now.
Oh, you even sent to the people?
I have to call Lane Zinn today and book it through them. He said that, so of course I had to sit there and make fun of him for having people. I was like, oh, I'll just have my people call your people, except for I don't have any people. I am my people.
We can get you a person for this if you want.
Yes, Glenn, if you could use a fake voice and be like, hello, I am the agent for Jamie Jennings calling to set you up for an interview. Will you please hold for Jamie Jennings? Call Lane Zinn and act like that. That'd be awesome. But, yeah, and he's totally embarrassed about it. He's like, I'm sorry. Of course, this is all on Facebook, but, you know, you can hear it. I'm sorry. I have to do the interviews through this. I guess, Zenyatta's importance, what he said to me was that he said the Blood Horse had just left and the New York Times was on their way. So,
oh, those little places.
I know. And I said, what, does that mean you don't have time for my little old radio show anymore now that you've been crowned best in show and the hottest horseman and all that? But no, he was very gracious. He's going to try very hard to come on the show on Tuesday to talk to us about Horse of the Year. So there you go.
I will add that we do have the whole show really is planned on Tuesday for it. We're making it another Zenyatta Day. It'll either be a cry fest or a happy fest. We're not sure which yet. But we have some Frankie Lovato is going to come back on and join us. We have somebody, I believe, from HRTV that's going to come on and join us, and hopefully Charles. So we're making it a whole day here for Zenyatta. Either we're just going to be crying our eyeballs out, but we're also going to take a lot of calls. We'll want to hear how you feel about it, good or bad, and we definitely want you to give us a call. You know, all of our listeners who haven't called yet, who care at all about this, we want you to give us a call on Tuesday. We're letting a lot of time for callers on that day.
Absolutely, and there's an article in the Blood Horse today about Moss, Jerry Moss, the owner of Zenyatta, kind of weighing in on the Horse of the Year debate, and it's funny, you know, they're getting one Eclipse Award for the whole Zenyatta, you know, camp, but basically he doesn't care about that. He said that he would be very disappointed if Zenyatta did not win Horse of the Year. And I quote, if we don't win the big prize, we'll be very disappointed. We're going there to win Horse of the Year. And that's like the nice way that he put it. I mean, you could just hear him like in his head going, I am going to be so mad, I'm going to go crazy, because they didn't win last year. He goes, this is his quote, with everything this great horse has accomplished, if she's not acknowledged with at least one Horse of the Year title in her 3-year campaign, to me it would be a little ridiculous. I love it. I try not to think about losing. I'm always thinking about winning. So, you know, good for him for actually speaking out. And that's what people like about the whole Zenyatta camp is, first of all, the access that you have to her. And then they just, you know, so many times you get answers when you ask questions like, oh, you know, if she doesn't win Horse of the Year, we don't care. It's not going to disappoint us, and we're not going to be bothered. He's like, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. And I was so glad. It's so refreshing. You're right. The whole group there around Zenyatta is refreshing. They couldn't have had a more perfect jockey. Everything about it was just refreshing. And it's sort of like what Amy said yesterday, Amy Zimmerman from HRTV, who's been in racing forever. You know, that's what made Zenyatta who she is, and we need more Zenyatta.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure everybody would love to have a Zenyatta. 19-0, going for 20, you know. Yeah, absolutely. But I remember last year when she didn't get it, and I was shocked that Rachel Alexander got it, and it was a debate then. So I just don't see how it could be a debate this year. And reading the quotes from the Claiborne Farm people, they were the breeders of Blame, and they owned Blame, who was also up for Horse of the Year. You know, they gave the answers. I love the farm. I love the people. They have some amazing stuff there and some amazing horses. But their answer was the standard, you know, if Zenyatta wins, congratulations to her. It doesn't really matter to us. We're going to keep going. So give it to Zenyatta, for crying out loud. They want it. They can take it. They can own it. Give it to her. I'm going to be so mad. All right.
Are you okay? Okay, we're going to take a short break while Jamie goes and takes her pills, and she'll be right back.
I had too much coffee.
First you get muted for the first time ever on the show, and then you're in one of your rants. This is a Jamie rant. I need music for a Jamie rant. We need to have music on hand for the Jamie rant. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to get music written. We'll have to call up Marianne and say, we need a Jamie rant music. That's what we need. Hey, I am looking forward to next week. I think it should be a lot of fun on Tuesday. We're going to watch on Monday night. We'll remind everybody it's, 6 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah, 6 p.m. Eastern is when the red carpet starts.
And it's on TVG. TVG is what it's on. I almost made a mistake when the HRTV lady was on yesterday and said, watch the show on TVG Monday. but I'm sure she has to be somewhat comfortable with that. That's where it is. So
hey,
Jennifer and I.
Who cares who's broadcasting it? Who's getting the Eclipse Award?
That's right. And we'll be watching to see. And you know they're going to drag this out for 4 hours, and it's going to be the last thing in the last minute. And what's going to happen is TVG, time will be up, and they'll cut it off, and we won't see it.
Oh, you lied. That will not happen. That will never happen. Hey, by the way, Glenn, before we get to our next guest, I just want to give a shout-out to all the veterinarians and staff at Rood & Riddle who apparently listen to our show there in Lexington, Kentucky. And hello, everybody at Rood & Riddle Equine Hospital.
Oh, great. Well, hi, everybody at Rood & Riddle. That's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get somebody from Rood & Riddle on sometime. They're a lot of fun to talk to over there, too.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome vets.
Well, we'll definitely have to get them on sometime. Hey, I wanted to mention, you had another article. We have to do our funny story of the day, and you're the one that found it today.
Do you want to do it after our Chronicle report? Because Lisa's on the line.
Lisa's here? Okay, good. Why don't you take us to Chronicle, and we'll do it after.
All right. Well, you know, every week we have a report from Chronicle of the Horse every Friday, and Lisa is kind enough to come on and talk to us about kind of what's the ins and outs of the Chronicle. So I guess this week there's a bunch of kind of strange or funny or, you know, pretty serious rule changes for 2011 and some of the sports. So, Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing fantastic. Now, are you snowed in right now?
You know what? We mostly got missed by the snow.
Oh, you're kidding me. Where are you?
We got, less than an inch.
And you are?
Sorry?
Where are you?
I'm at our office in Middleburg, Virginia.
Middleburg.
Yep.
That's amazing because that whole area, you must have got lucky, girl. Well,
I think we did.
Some of the rule changes going on this year is what you're going to talk about. And obviously the helmet debate continues on, and I think it's starting to gain some ground about, you know, making helmets mandatory in every equestrian sport. So
yep.
Obviously I'm sure that's probably part of what you're going to talk about. Is that
I think we had talked about helmet rules for dressage before, which is obviously a huge one, and it looks like what's going on basically is they proposed all these rule changes. They've been through various committees. They've been through all the annual meetings. So they've had, you know, the USEA meeting, the USDF meeting, and the USHJA meeting. And they sort of gauged, you know, through those meetings how much public support is for these rules. So the next step is for them to go to the USEF annual meeting, which starts next Tuesday or Wednesday. And that's when they'll actually be voted on by the board of directors. But chances are, if a rule, you know, has had a lot of support, if it's come through the proper committees and it looks like the public is generally behind it, it's probably going to pass. So our best guess right now is that these helmet rules will pass, and there's one for dressage, and there's also one for eventing. So that's pretty exciting. Hopefully we'll know more about that next week, but it looks like that's going to be mandatory.
Now, to clarify, in eventing, the lower levels are all, I mean, I thought you pretty much had to wear a helmet. Is that not the case, or is that now a new rule?
You had to always jump with a helmet, and you had to wear from, you know, the beginning of the competition, you had to wear a hat of some sort, but it could be a hunt cap, you know, without a strap.
Uh-huh.
And now it's going to be mandatory that you have to wear, you know, from the start of the competition, a helmet, you know, an approved helmet, and also in the dressage. So, you know, if you were
thinking about wearing a bowler cap or something, or even your hunt cap, you wouldn't be able to do that anymore. You'd have to wear an approved helmet.
Okay, so even through all the levels, all the way up through 4-star, you cannot wear the top hat anymore, potentially.
Well, if it's an FEI level, if it's an FEI competition, then FEI rules would take precedent. So, you know, if you're at Rolex or whatever, you're still going to be able to wear your helmet. But if you're at the advanced at Morven Park or whatever, you would have to follow the USEA rules.
Interesting. And so, you know, maybe, you know, I just hope that everybody takes the safety first kind of approach. So anyway, what else is happening in the world of the new meetings and rule changes and all that?
Well, there are some other funny ones that were proposed. One is that next year, these all start in the 2012 season. So if they get passed, you know, next week, except for with the exception of the helmet rule comes into effect March 1st, 2011. But most of these would start, you know, at the beginning of the season in 2012. So one rule that was really funny, I think, came from the U.S. Hunter Jumper Association. And it said that if you are riding in a course and your helmet strap comes undone, you have permission to stop and refasten it before you continue without penalty.
And then
are
you required to buy a new
helmet? There's going to be a lot of riders having trouble stopping to adjust their straps.
Holy
I can
cow.
See that
yeah.
That's kind of wild. I would be really curious to know, how often does that really happen?
I don't know. It's hard to imagine. I mean, you know, most of them have proper snaps now, you know, that sort of lock in. It's hard to imagine that they would come undone.
I guess
very
user
often.
Error. I mean, you're all nervous and wacky and you put your helmet on and you don't get it right. Yeah. That's kind of a wild one there, yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't at the USHJA meeting, but one of our reporters, Molly Bailey, was there, and she said it actually generated a lot of conversation because there was the idea that, you know, you could sort of fake it if you're having a really
difficult
round.
That's what I was
saying,
yeah. Like those soccer players at the end of the game when they need a break, the one just goes down injured, you know, and they plan ahead of time which one's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I can totally see that. That could be an entertaining one. Like, you just need to just halt for a second and chill out. Just calm down your horse or something. Oh, I'm sorry, my helmet. I got to get crap. And then you keep going.
Yep.
But you know what? There's only like 8 jumps in 100 course anyway. If you can't make it through 8 jumps, you need to move down.
It's true. And another one that I thought was kind of funny is a rule that clarifies that dog owners are responsible for what their dogs may destroy at a horse show.
Thank God.
Yeah. I can't imagine how that wasn't the rule before, but apparently it was not.
Yeah,
that's
so
funny.
We watched a video of Jamie riding earlier. Jamie sent us a video on YouTube, and then I just looked up her name, and I found all these videos of Jamie riding. And one of them was her riding through a water jump at a cross-country course with this dog chasing and biting it around.
Oh,
the whole
no.
Night. And we were like, Jamie, what happened with that course? And she's like, oh, I was schooling. It was my dog.
Oh. Well, that's good.
It
at
was
least.
My dog. I was going, I was yelling the whole way through the water jump, Brett, quit it, Brett.
Well, do you remember, I think it was Rolex maybe 2 years ago, someone's dog did get loose and I think followed someone's horse. It might have been Buck Davidson.
It was Buck Davidson, and that dog actually bit the horse.
Yeah.
It actually bit the horse's hind leg, and they had to have a ruling later that because Buck kept going and did great after it. It didn't stop him. And it was in between jumps. Fortunately, it wasn't right at a jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll play lawyer for a second.
Okay.
If you expound on that rule, a dog owner is responsible for things the dog destroys at a horse show.
Yep.
So if the dog spooks a horse, makes the horse rear and flip over backwards, and the people who were there to look at the horse for sale don't buy him, they destroyed the sale, therefore the owner of the dog is responsible.
I don't know about that, but that raises an interesting point. I mean, what if that situation happens and the rider is seriously injured? You know, then does the responsibility that rider's
injured?
That's a scary
one to pass, actually.
Yeah.
Unless
they
put the detail in there that it's a physical object, you know.
Yeah.
And they have to pay the, you know, the health bill and all that stuff then. Yeah, that's a good point.
Chewing up a saddle pad's really simple.
Yeah.
Buy a saddle pad. But, you know, that could get a little scary, that ruling.
Yep, it's kind of interesting. The rule says to read the exact language, dog owners are solely responsible for any damages, claims, losses, or actions resulting from their loose dog's behavior. So that leaves a lot of room for
interpretation.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
As a dog owner who says, oh, my dog's fine, everybody knows him and leaves him loose.
Yep.
And genuinely he is for the most part. It's a little scary. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
that
you have to
now
be,
that I've dragged this all down into the dirt, thank you very much.
Yes. Seriously, Myra, some details. But no, I mean, you know, you have to prove it in a court of law. But that does sound like if somebody falls off and gets hurt, the dog owner is responsible for the medical bills. Now proving
yep.
that in court that it was the dog's fault
right.
is something different.
Right.
Go ahead. Carry on. Sorry.
So another one is kind of similar. It says basically if you have a child operating a like golf cart, which they're not actually supposed to do, but I mean it happens constantly, and they, you know, have some damages on something, then the parents, guardians, and or trainers of the child are solely responsible for any damages.
I'm all about that. I'm anti-golf cart anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're crazy on the golf carts, it seems
yeah.
like.
You know what bothers me the most, for me personally, is I spend a lot of time over there at the horse park. The whole horse park smells like a truck stop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're just everywhere, and for the most part, they're gas-driven now versus
yep.
you see a lot of electric ones.
Yeah.
And the horse park just, A, smells like a truck stop, and B, it's like a Walmart parking lot at Christmas time.
Yeah, it is.
So any time that they can slow down, reduce the golf cart thing, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I agree with
Ride
that.
Ride a bike.
Make those darn kids walk. They need the exercise anyway.
Yeah, seriously. Another one that, this one's a little more serious, but could actually apply to you if you have a horse at a showground. It says, in the event of an acute and serious injury or illness of a horse on competition grounds, when the owner of the horse or agent of the owner is not present and cannot be contacted, competition management in its sole discretion may authorize the provision of emergency veterinary treatment of the horse.
Well, I thought that was true anyway. I'm surprised that wasn't already.
Yeah,
a rule.
I'm kind of surprised that wasn't a rule, too.
That's interesting.
What did they do? I mean, what did they do? Did they just say, oh, we can't do anything with the horse until we figure out where they are?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine they ended up doing things anyway. Maybe that's why they finally, you know, brought the rule in. But I can't picture anyone, you know, horses colicking and they just say, well, we can't reach the owner. Guess we're just going to have to let him colic.
Yeah. Well,
I
know in Pennsylvania, that kind of thing, that if somebody who was not given legal responsibility authorized treatment for the horse, the owner could refuse to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe this is just a clarification so that when emergency care must be given, it's that it helps, A, the horse gets taken care of, and B,
right.
the veterinarian gets paid for his work.
Right. It also says if competition management authorizes treatment, they or the veterinarian are not liable for the cost, damages, losses, or claims arising directly
yeah.
from.
Huh.
So it, you know, states who the onus of payment is on as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. Let's see. Here's just another small one. It looks like at Hunter Jumper shows, you'll be able to use plain brown rubber reins. I didn't actually know those weren't allowed before, but apparently they were not.
What were you supposed to use?
I guess laced reins or some variety of...
In jumper shows... Now, read that one again. Maybe I misunderstood it.
It just says... But this is under the section for appointments. Oh, sorry. This is in the equitation division only. That makes more sense.
Ah.
It says the use of plain brown rubber reins is now permitted.
That makes more sense. Yeah. I did read in the Chronicle article, they did the review of the George Morris clinics.
Yep.
Which was awesome, by the way, if you haven't
they
read
were
it,
awesome.
The Chronicle and read it. It was fun, interesting, and great to read. That he was commenting to the riders that were using, I guess some of them were using cotton reins, that get rid of the cotton reins. get rubber ones. So that's interesting that they're actually making rules about what tack can and can't be used.
Yep. And there's another rule that's proposed for dressage that's come up, I think, every year for the last 5 years or something, which is to allow a bitless bridle. But they don't think that that one is going to pass.
That's
going
to go through. Because they're allowed to – now, for hunters, they're not allowed to use hackamores of any sort, correct?
I am not 100% certain about that. I don't think they are. I think it has to be a bridle with a bit and a nose band.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Well, I can, okay, for regular hunters, okay, but boy, these equitation courses are getting mighty dicey. I can see where they're going to want some leeway.
Yep. So another one that I thought was pretty cool, I think we briefly mentioned this last week when we were talking about the falls, is a new rule for eventing, which says that if a fallen rider has been determined unconscious or concussed by the competition's attending medical personnel, they will be issued a mandatory 7 or 21-day suspension from competition. If and only if a rider has established a cognitive baseline through certified programs such as IMPACT and proves he or she retains that baseline function after the fall, the suspension can be lifted early.
I think that's
a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I learned a lot about this. I went down to the Helmet Symposium last weekend in Florida. And they talked a lot about baselines, and I didn't realize that in so many of the different disciplines now that they are doing baselines on all the different professional riders and keeping those on file so that when they do get hurt, they can redo that test and go, okay, you're not with it, you know?
And
the baseline's a good idea because we're all, you know, we all have different levels of whatever. And it basically, what the baseline test is basically an online test that you have to take. And it does different things. It's not just answer questions. It's different things that you have to do that includes motor skills and things like that. So, but it gives you a baseline number, and I found that conversation very interesting.
Yeah.
When we were there, in that I didn't know they were doing that currently.
Yeah, that's what it says, is that it looks like Karen O'Connor last year had a concussion of some sort, and she had already established a baseline, and she was allowed to go back sooner than...
Well, one of the big criticisms of getting hurt and getting concussions is that athletes of all sorts, not just riders, have been going back too soon. They always want to get back on the horse. They always want to, you know... regardless of their own self-preservation, and football players and, you know, all the different athletes in the different sports always want to go back too soon. So even down to high school now, athletes are having to do baselines, and that they're having different rules in different states now that even high school football players have to do the baselines, and they're cut out of a certain number of games if they don't meet up to their baseline.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You don't realize.
Now, I'm
not
sure I would beat up to it even without a concussion. I'd probably, you know, one day do it, the next day slunk anyway. But
and it says that establishing the baseline is only about $10, which is pretty cool, you know, to call and do that baseline assessment. I assumed it would be really expensive or something, but $10 is a pretty good deal.
Well, they tried to make it cheap enough so that high schools could do it and all the different.
Okay.
And all the different sports could do it. You know, another area, and I never thought about it, another sport that they were having problems with concussions is soccer. And they said, you do hit the ball with your head.
Right.
But they said that's not what was causing the concussions. It's head-on collisions. When two soccer players go for the ball at the same time and they whack their heads, and that's where the concussion is coming from.
I thought it was interesting, you know, we had someone covering that symposium down there for us and reading the coverage. You know, they talk about how you sort of assume, okay, I've had a couple concussions, maybe three. That's probably about as many as I should have. And they said, you know, really one concussion is probably as many as you should have.
Right. Right. Because
maybe we should replace should with could.
Right.
You should have one concussion. Everybody should have one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anyone who rides it. Haven't had at least one, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to fall off and bump your head. Hopefully you have the helmet on when you're doing it. So.
Right.
No comment on this end. I actually playing soccer in high school, Glenn, so that's funny you mentioned the soccer thing.
Oh, wow.
Is that what happened? You went up and bumped heads, or?
No, actually, I got kicked in the head. I was a goalie.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
So it was a one-on-one. They came at me and kicked me in the head. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think if I'd established a baseline, I would have flunked big time after that one, for sure.
Did you have little cleat marks on your forehead?
I had the toe print because it got me in the toe. Right in the feed.
Oh, wow.
Good times, good times. High school athletics, a great idea. I played every sport and was kind of forced to, and I think I got hurt and never, I broke my thumb playing basketball. I got a concussion playing soccer.
Wow.
You know, stuff happens. Stuff happens.
Yep, yep. All right, Lisa, so is there any other cool ones?
That was pretty much it. There was kind of another interesting one that came up, which would require everyone who competes at a USEF competition to be a member. So right now you can go, if you're not a member, you pay, you know, your $25 non-member fee and you're in. But this rule would eliminate, you wouldn't be able to do that anymore. You'd have to just sign up for the membership before you went to your horse show. But that was another one that they said they really thought wouldn't pass, because no one really wants that except for maybe the people who work at USEF.
Exactly. John Long
wants
that.
Don't get mad at me for saying that.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Do they really want to do all the paperwork to process a a membership fee for somebody who's going to enter one show a year?
Yeah. It seems.
Yeah, they do.
Both
ends, they get,
you know?
They get the full fee. So yes, they do. Yeah.
And then they talked about how much it would hurt show organizers, because you think about all the people who, you know, it's October and you have a new horse and you want to take him to one horse show.
Right.
And you know, $25, okay, I'll pay that and go, but I don't know if I'd pay, you know, $75 to take my new horse to one horse show in October. I'd just wait until the next year. So that's one less horse at that horse show for the show manager.
You don't get the $75 for the USEF, but the horse show organizer doesn't get the $250 for that entry, because that's where the bucks are. Or in the entry. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting that they did, that they brought it to the table, but it looks like it might not go anywhere.
Yeah, I think from everything we've heard from all the different meetings, it doesn't look like it'll go anywhere. But it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for giving us the Chronicle report, the proposed rule changes for 2011. I'm sure you'll keep us up to date on which one passes and which ones don't.
Definitely.
Give your website out real quick.
We are at www.cronofhorse.com.
Chronofhorse.com, and that needs to be on everybody's bookmark. I mean, that's where you go to get, you know, the up-to-date information. So
yeah,
Chronofhorse.com.
Yeah.
Lisa, we hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you. You guys do too.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye.
Thank you.
And everybody, if you haven't gone on and read the reports, the blogs, whatever, from the George Morris Clinic they had, it was a blast to read. You got to go read that. It is so classic, George. It was awesome.
And I think we're going to wrap early again. We usually do that about 10:15 on Friday. Jamie, you had one other thing you needed to rub in, I guess, with Jennifer yet today, the daily Keeneland Bash on Jennifer report.
Yes, I would like to let you know that the gross revenue for the Keeneland January Horses of All Ages sale in Lexington has already surpassed the total for last year's entire auction, even though one day of selling still remains. In addition, with four of five of the sessions completed, the number of horses sold, average price, are ahead of 2010's pace at the same point. And let's see, let me skip ahead here. 230 horses were sold yesterday for a total of $1,876,500. But you're right, Jennifer, the average was down today. I do have to give you that. $8,159 for the average horse sold. So,
and what was
a lot of people ended up buying their horses back because the prices weren't where they wanted. But definitely the numbers are way up from last year. So hopefully, you know, if we can all have a little bit of hope, that hopefully that's an encouraging thing for our equine economy, because I know it has been really tough for so many people. And even apparently I found out yesterday that the area that I'm in, there was 1,300 horses involved in the 4-H division. This year there's 350. So I'm really hoping, I know, that's a huge drop. So I'm really hoping that this is a sign of the economy coming back in the equine world. And thank you for Keeneland, you know, having all these numbers so I can completely keep track of it.
You can put your finger on the pulse anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe the cheap horses will be today. Today is the last day of the sale. Maybe today is the day that we need to rush down to Keeneland and buy some cheap race horses.
It's bargain day. Woohoo.
Hey, I wanted to also, we can't go away. I teased it earlier. Animal welfare authorities in Palm Beach County, Florida, where I was over the weekend, are trying to find a, you know, you've heard of stray dogs. You know, you always have heard of stray dogs. Jennifer and I had a surreal experience, and one day we took a walk here not too long ago. We went about 10 blocks away from our house walking, and a cat started following us. So usually they follow you for a house or two, and then they, you know, they give up. And this cat stayed beside us, right behind us, following us all the way to our front door, 10 blocks away. And then after we went in the house, I said to Jennifer, look out the front door. We have a glass front door. The cat had its front paws up looking in the house.
Oh,
so,
that's too funny.
I know. It was the most bizarre thing we've ever seen. And eventually, I guess the cat just went home. It was a well-cared-for cat. So in Florida, they found, this guy discovered this horse, this gray horse, wandering around in one of the rural areas in Palm Beach County. And I guess they caught the horse, and they're now looking for the owner of the horse. They think it might even have been a polo horse at one time that maybe got loose, and they couldn't find it. It's not something you come across every day, for sure. Have you guys ever come across just a horse wandering around?
Well, I told you my story here about being in West Palm and having the stallion come gallop. I was cruising along looking at the polo farms, and then this black stallion jumps the hood of my rental car and takes off. And then I see, like, four dudes running with halters chasing it. So that's my only time I found a loose horse.
Jennifer, did you ever have one?
Well, I have a polo pony one.
Okay.
Way back in the day when we lived up in Massachusetts, I was on my way into work one morning. It was really, really early. Sun wasn't quite up, lots of ground mist. And I'm puttering along, and I peer out the windshield, and just ahead, about the distance where you really can focus on what shape the auto in front of you is, I see a whole lot of horse butts. And I get a little bit closer, and driving and trotting down the center of the state road with two yellow lines in the middle, pretty significant road, 8 horses. Just trotting down the middle of the road. And as I get closer, I see that there are 2 rows of horses. The front row has halters and lead ropes on, being led by several grooms on the tailgate of a pickup truck. And right behind them are 4 more who don't have halters and lead ropes on. And apparently what happened is all the polo ponies got loose overnight. And they went out and caught 4 of them. And when they caught those 4, the other 4 said, oh, well, we'll come along too. And they're just trotting down the middle of the state road with them, back to the barn.
Wow.
And apparently, I got to talk to them, and I said, oh, this happens all the time. We just catch a couple of them, and the rest of them come along. We trot down the road and take them back.
Well, there you go.
Oh.
That's herd instinct for you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is,
oh, yeah. The other ones aren't going to be left behind, for sure.
Well, this has been a fun week, Jamie. Thank you so much. And, of course, you're looking forward to a really fun week next week, picking up your puppies on Monday, Zenyatta on Tuesday. We have a whole bunch of cool guests lined up for next week. We wanted to mention that next Thursday is going to be Dog Day. We're going to the dogs on Thursday, and we're going to be talking about dogs, of course. And then we just have a lot of cool guests. So Monday morning, we're going to be talking. By the way, did you ever go do your sweaty yoga yet?
I was hoping you'd forget.
No?
No. See, the problem is, Glenn, that when I was going to do the sweaty yoga, it was really cold here, and I thought that sounded like a really good idea to go and heat it up. Well, now it's 70 degrees every day, and the last thing I want to do is climb into a 110-degree room and get sweaty and do yoga. I'm going to do it. I'll do it.
Okay. Well, Monday morning, we get to talk to somebody about equestrian Pilates. Now,
awesome.
I've heard about Pilates. I don't know a darn thing about Pilates. I think it's some kind of thing on a mat. So, and I didn't know there was equestrian Pilates, which kind of makes me think, do you bring the horse in, and does the horse get his own mat? So we're going to find all of that out on Monday morning as we talk to somebody about equestrian Pilates. And also, we have a guest on to talk about Caspian horses, which I believe was a request by Curtis, who on our Facebook page, who said, I want to know more about Caspian horses. Well, Jennifer dug around and got somebody to come on about Caspian horses. So we have a great week planned for next week. Don't forget, you can listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network. And there's one I want to mention today. The Stable Scoop Show will be out this morning. Helene and I recorded it yesterday with none other than Tammy Hogue, the best-selling author. She's only had 13 bestsellers on New York Times list. and sold 35 million books. So it was so cool last night, or yesterday, we interviewed her. We had a great time with Tammy. She's also a Grand Prix dressage rider. And we just had so much fun talking to her about writing and books and dressage and horses. And she used to be a Western. She grew up riding Western. It was just a great, fun interview. We had so much fun. And then Jennifer and I had to go to the bookstore last night. And right there in front of the, as we walk in the door, is Tammy Hoag's new book. So, and I said, I talked to her today. So that was so cool. So
yeah,
the
management at the bookstore escorted him out.
Yes, that's
right. Glenn, you're like Will Ferrell in Elf. Okay, when he sees it, was there like Santa's coming tomorrow? Santa! I know him. You're like,
okay.
I know her.
I talked to her today. So that's that going to be out later this morning on StableScoop.com. Check that out. And we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. And hopefully, I know Glenn will be back Monday morning. Hopefully, I will be back on Monday morning. I'm not in the hospital for, you know, skiing down a hill or doing what the video Glenn posted on our Facebook page does. So you can find that at facebook.com/horsesinthemorning. So everybody have a wonderful weekend. Ride your horse, pet your pony, wear your helmet. Love you guys. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Glenn.